All right, welcome to our stock market update. And as you can see, both Mark and I are back in our studios. Looks good, doesn't it? Okay. Hey, so today is, October 18th. And we'll talk about this week, will we have a market crash or make new all-time highs? Let's take a look at the charts. Because, I mean, last week, Mark, the S&P finished the week higher and had its best week since, October, July? No, July, August?
Hey, all I know is that the S&P is 1.5% away from record high. So after some shakiness over the last couple of weeks and some concerns of whether or not we're going to see a bear market and market crash, which you don't know, it could still happen. The S&P and the other indices just had a super strong week and finished near session highs on Friday.
Yeah. And I mean, let's take a look at what's moving the markets right now. I mean, first of all, COVID cases. We haven't talked about this in a while because it hasn't been really a major factor in the markets anymore since we have been consistently declining. And now, as we can see, the 7-day average is below 85,000. So this is looking good. So this is number one. Number two, last week we had very strong bank earnings, right? I mean, Mark, who all reported last week? Bank of America reported last week and looking really good.
Goldman Sachs, huge day on Friday.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs on Friday up 3.8%. And I mean, usually for growth stocks, 3.8% is nothing. But for value stocks like Goldman Sachs, that is a big, big move. And even pre-market, see a little bit follow-up. So we have had, how many companies report earnings thus far?
At least in the S&P 500, it looks like 41 companies have reported third quarter results. And 80% of them have topped earning per share expectations.
Right. Then we also have strong retail sales data that was reported on Friday. And this is where everybody expected that the economy might be slowing down and consumer spending might be slowing down, but it came in much better than expected.
Yeah, I mean, retail sales, they were actually expecting a decline of 0.2%, and instead there was a rise of 0.7% in retail sales in September. So that's retail sales were super strong.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is where I just brought it up, what retail sales look like here on the FRED. Federal? Anyhow, so as you can see, I mean, this was during the pandemic, obviously, spending slowed down in 2020, but then going up. And now after a brief decline, we have an uptick again. So, I mean, this year looks super, super strong, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I mean, just a lot of data coming out that's really good, and that really promoted the rally last week. One other thing to mention with COVID, Marcus, is that the government also lifted its ban on foreign travel. That was announced last week. And so on November 8th, fully vaccinated foreign visitors will be able to travel to the U.S. again. So not only were cases down, but I think there was some positive news on that front, and then also booster shots being approved.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is where we want to talk about, will the markets crash this week or will we see near all-time highs? And right now, if you first look at it, I mean, what's there not to love, right? I mean, we see that strong retail sales, unemployment is below 5%. The S&P 500, if you go back to this here really quick, is now 30% higher than it was before the pandemic hit. Federal government has been spending money left and right, a lot of money also put into the pockets of everybody, right? And this is where if I look at the household net worth, this is also what I got here from the FRED website. FRED, the St. Louis Fed is what it is. I mean, look at this. In 2021, I mean, we had a dip, but the household net worth actually went up. So, wow. I mean, this is where, yeah, maybe we are at new economic highs, but let's talk about, there's a few things coming up this week that could actually put a damper on all the excitement here. Let's first talk about earnings.
Sure. I mean, really a big week for earnings. We talked about it last week, and we're getting into the big part of earnings season. And so we have a bunch of big names, Netflix reporting, Marcus. And Netflix, you first introduced me to the show, The Squid Game, but there's a lot of buzz around Netflix right now.
Right. I mean, yeah, I got sucked into the Squid Game here on Netflix. And have you seen the buzz around this?
And I watched the first two episodes actually when we were in Clearwater Beach last week. One evening, I watched two episodes with Heidi, and so it was interesting. But it's a number one hit across the world.
It is. So, I mean, it seems that 132 million people have watched at least 2 minutes in this first 23 days after it has been released here. And this is way more than the 82 million that Bridgerton had, which holds the record on Netflix. So, yeah, I mean, just going back to the chart, this might be a big week for Netflix. I'm still on weekly charts, and we see that Netflix at some point was just going sideways because it's difficult for Netflix to get the subscriber growth here. But now it seems that Netflix is on the rise again.
Yeah, I also saw that it costs $2.4 million for them to do an episode, and it was either a 7 or 9 episode series, right? But they said the impact value is expected to be $891 million. So putting in about $21 million into the production, and that type of return is pretty nice.
Yeah. All right. Who else is reporting this week?
Well, it's going to be a big week for airlines.
Right. I think United Airlines is reporting this week, right?
Yep, we have United reporting, and I believe that's on Tuesday. We also have Love and AAL on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, then we also have this week Johnson and Johnson reporting. So we'll see what happens here with Johnson and Johnson. We also have IBM reporting and Tesla. And I mean,
Tesla.
Tesla has been on a tear recently. I know that we talked about it. Michael Burry, the Big Short, or known from the Big Short, took a short position somewhere around here. And Tesla is also approaching the all-time high. So the all-time high here was at $900.40. And this is where some say with the earnings that are being reported this week, they might actually crack this all-time high. We'll see.
I think it could happen.
All right. But let's talk on the other hand. On the other hand. So all of this is the good news. So that's one thing. But we also had the Chinese GDP overnight. And the Chinese GDP was at 4.9%, which was much less than expected, which is not surprising because we talked about the Evergrande scandal, right? And how this could impact the Chinese economy. And this is what we are seeing right now. So the Chinese economy is slowing down. And this is where everybody says, what's going on there?
Yeah, and when there's a friend you might have had in the past where about half of what they say is true, that GDP number from China might be cut in half. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, we've talked about Evergrande and everything happening there. Also, Marcus, supply chain bottlenecks and inflation. So supply chain issues, the bottlenecks there, that really hasn't changed, right? So I think that that's a big deal right now that could put a break on this move, but it just depends how strong earnings are going to continue because so
Yeah.
far off the chart.
Also, here we see the 10-year yield, and the 10-year yield is also rising again. And I mean, the yield. Yeah. I mean, inflation, are rising interest rates. This is what everybody's looking at that could actually send the markets lower. And yeah, you said it, the supply chain issues. So this week, as companies are reporting earnings, yes, of course, it's nice to know how they did last quarter, but everybody is right now looking for guidance of how do they see the inflation? Because we know that the producer price index is just skyrocketing. We know that hourly wages are increasing, and we know that there are these supply chain issues. This is why Amazon, Walmart, and Target already started their Black Friday sales pretty much what last week. And the Port of LA is now open 24/7. So kind of crazy.
Yeah, those issues really haven't gone away. So those, reading into the earnings, positive EPS, revenue beats, that's one thing, but a lot of the wording and what their expectations are for the next quarter is going to be, huge with whether or not we continue to go higher or drop.
Yeah. All right. We gotta talk about Bitcoin. Bitcoin, above 60,000 over the weekend. So,
Yeah.
holy cannoli.
Go to a weekly chart for a minute, Marcus.
Yeah.
This is getting interesting here. And I know that we mentioned something else happening with Bitcoin, but this recovery has been pretty quick. Well, we pulled back after that rally to 60,000 the first time, stayed there, at those levels for weeks, and then it was like a slow grind, and then 3 weeks just jumping right back up towards those all-time highs. And it was interesting because there's a Bitcoin ProShares ETF that could begin trading today or tomorrow. And this is something that they've tried to have, happen for years. Marcus, I know you had, when was the first time they tried to do this?
Oh, the Winklevoss brothers in
Yeah.
2013. So that's 8 years ago. 8 years ago, they were fighting for the for an ETF, for a cryptocurrency-based ETF.
Yeah, and one thing here is it's not going to be based on Bitcoin. It's going to be based on Bitcoin futures. So that was one thing that ProShares they decided to focus on to get around some regulatory issues because the SEC and just in general with the futures markets, it's because there's so much money involved, it's a little harder to manipulate, one might think. And so that's why it's tied to Bitcoin futures. So this new ETF, you're not buying Bitcoin, but you are trading the moves in that underlying. And so that could be a big thing.
That could be a big thing. So let's take a quick look of where the markets are this morning, and everything points to a lower opening. So if you look at the EME S&P futures, so we see that ever since they opened last night, we immediately had a drop. We're going sideways, and now it seems that we are stair stepping down, trading towards session lows here. So this is the Chinese GDP concern that we have right now. The Nasdaq also down almost 0.5%, and the Dow down 0.5%. So everything is pointing to a lower open, and this is where I think October will remain volatile. I mean, if we are looking here at October, I mean, we had the pretty bad September that was going on, and now we have this super volatile October where we are just chopping along and pointing to a lower opening. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, that 10-year yield too creeping up towards highs of last week. So, between the Chinese GDP and 10-year yield, some pressure going into the open.
Now, there's some other bad news that might be factored into the markets this morning. I don't know if you heard about this, but last week there was the Balloon World Cup. So here's a let me see if I can play this video. Let me just quickly bring it up. And it was Germany against Peru. Look at this.
Oh no.
Yeah, and you know what? Germany lost. Peru
Oh, that's
won 6-2.
awful. That's, that makes me think of the cornhole championships I was watching on my flight back to Sacramento. I didn't know they had national cornhole championships. They're serious about it.
Well, you're talking about a national championship. I'm talking about a World Cup. I'm talking
Okay.
about World Cup. Okay, hey, let's get ready
Little
for
different.
trading. It should be good because with the markets down, this is a perfect opportunity for the wheel strategy. If you would like to know the strategies that we use to trade the markets, we'll have some videos popping up, and there's also some linked in the description. So take a look at these and then take advantage of today's move. Should be really interesting.
Happy trading, everybody.